So as an ICE officer, you've served as the district magistrate also, and now you serve as the vice chancellor of a central university. How is administrating a university different from a district in your experience?
No, fundamentals of administration always remain the same. So I don't think there is a great deal of difference. In a district, you manage people. You pursue and follow projects. You try to do things in the most objective and fair manner.
Yes, sir.
In a district, because a collector also has judicial functions, you learn to and you do dispense justice equitably. So therefore, and much the same in a university, the emphasis can be different, because in a district you will say that your emphasis would be on development activity or on law and order. In the university your emphasis would be on academics. But coming down to the basics, the vice chancellor's is really a guiding job. Much of academia is independent, it's intellectually very vibrant, so you don't need to hold anybody's hand to tell them what to do. And in this university, we get together, the deans get together, the heads of department get together, we decide what to do. So therefore, I don't think it's very much more different. And fundamentally, most administrations come or have a great deal of commonness.
So this university, Jamia, has been built on these values of self-reliance and nationalism, and today it's a bustling center of learning and modernity and culture and tradition especially. How would you describe the progress it has made over the years?
Oh, Jamia is one of the finest universities that India has. I mean,
Apparently,
it's ranked, I
yes.
think, seventh or eighth in India. So if you're looking at terms on how we position Jamia in India, so if you are talking in terms of where Jamia stands amongst academic institutions or against among central universities, you're fine. If you're asking me how higher education stands generically in the country, I would say not so fine. I think that a lot needs to be done in education per se, but it start from school education and go to higher education. And I think that that as it happens in most countries, the richer people are able to send their children to these so-called private schools, which have much greater facilities. They are also able to attract better teachers. They are able to send teachers overseas to learn the latest concepts of teaching. And correspondingly, the children also who go there come from, you know, more sort of sophisticated backgrounds. Their parents are more aware of what the children need to do. So they're taken care of. But that's 1% of India. What is happening to the rest 99? And I think that schools generically are not delivering the quality education. And there is therefore a direct relationship with universities that I do not think that our university level is as good as it should be when you know 60% of the country is so young, and when maybe what I don't know the statistics, but maybe you know 30-40% people are ready to go to college or in school and college. So that's a matter of concern.
So when the founders must have established Jamia back in 1920, they must have had a vision, a dream for the university that it will be such and such after, say, 90 years. What do you think was that vision, and how well do you think have we lived up to it in today's age?
No, times change, and
Absolutely.
therefore you cannot say that a founder in 1920 would have a vision that would make him imagine a university 92 years hence. No, the world is changing at such a fast pace that it is humanly impossible, for instance, for me to say where Jamia will be 25 years from now. So, 22 years ago, the mission of the university was completely different. We were not an independent country, and there was a concern that the Muslims should stay on the path of secularism and nationalism. So I think the thrust of education and of the idea of bringing forth this university and all the efforts and sacrifices that went into building this university was to have a modern institution, to have a secular institution, to have a nationalist institution, but at the same time, because there was such a concern for Muslims in those days, because there was the issue of communalism, there were all kinds of communal serpents were raising their heads amongst Muslims as well as non-Muslims, that the emphasis was certainly to keep secularism vibrant, yet not diminish the Muslim flavor, so that the Muslims should not feel neglected. I think that was their desire, and that is the effort that we have tried to keep up.
So the office of the Vice Chancellor of Jamia, or Sheikhul Jamia, has always been held by illustrious men, and it has always been an integral part of the story that is Jamia. How do you think it has evolved or progressed as along the years have passed?
You mean the office of the Vice
right,
Chancellor?
Right, the office.
Well, you know, things evolve. I think what the university was when Zakir Saab was here for 25 years, or Mujib Saab was here for 25 years, was dramatically different. So, you know, you will hear stories. Zakir Saab would walk up to a place and he would know the students and he would go into school. Now, all that is not possible.
Of course.
And it's impractical. So, things have changed. The office has evolved. It is, like I said, a modern university. You have 20,000 students in university.
Uh-huh.
You have 4,000 in schools. And, you know, you're trying to equip with the latest laboratories. The stress on sciences was not as great in the 20s as it is today. The scientific innovations hadn't been made. 1920s, in the whole of Delhi, you would have had half a dozen cars. So, the orientation of vice-chancellors are come from the fact that their minds are embedded in the time that they live in. So, I think we've all evolved and grown with time.
So, in this recently held meeting of all the vice-chancellors of India with the president, this topic of 12 innovation universities came about, right?
No, it didn't. It wasn't discussed. Wrongly reported.
Okay. So, as in regard of the 12 innovation universities, what is your take on this issue, and how do you think Jamia can contribute to these innovation universities?
No. You see, what is the big thing about an innovation university, I want to ask? Why are we not an innovation university?
That is,
why should
exactly.
we not be considered an innovation
right,
university?
Right, right.
You give me more funds, and we are an innovation university. After all, what it means is better laboratories.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means.
Right.
It means better programs. It
R&D,
means,
right.
it means bringing some more people from overseas, giving them a salary and making you face the best of teachers. That is
right.
what it means to innovate. It only means putting you it up in a smart classroom
mm-hmm.
where the lecture that is going on in Yale is beamed to you. So we are all the same. And that is what we have been telling the UGC, that you know. You were too young. There was a movie called Haqeeqat that was made in India in 1962, a war movie. Yeah?
Right.
So the Indian soldiers are retreating.
Mm-hmm.
And the brigadier is talking to the general, or it could be the colonel talking to the brigadier, vice versa, whatever. So he's telling his general that, look, my soldiers are not retreating because they are running away from the Chinese. But to stand here and face, I want guns.
Absolutely.
I want shoes. I want warm clothing.
Ammunition, right, sir.
So we are in the same plight. Anybody can go on the street and say that you're not a Harvard. Of course I'm not a Harvard. And I'm not an IIT. And I'm not an IIT because I don't have the same resources. So that's a fact we shouldn't hide. So therefore, if government wants to innovate with anything, I really believe that we have the strength, we have the heritage, we have the talent. You are the best kids around because you've competed with 40,000 others in coming to this university. You have seasoned teachers. We need to orient our teachers. We need to train our teachers. We need to send them for refresher courses. For all that, you need resources.
Sir, Jamia inaugurated a nanotechnology center of late. So, with regard to research and development, what is your vision for this center?
You know, I think that's an enormous center. There are two centers which have terrific potential for the future. One is theoretical physics and the other is nanotechnology. Now, at the laboratory level, the Center for Nanotechnology, which is half the size of this room, has made a particle that is as strong that if made at the industrial level, you can make a ladder up to the heavens and it won't break. Now that's the capacity of scientific research that you have here in your colleagues. And there's a young girl like you who is doing that research. So, and these are all boys. So one thing we must take away from mind that it is only some chap from a wealthy background going to an expensive school who will do all this.
Yes, sir.
These are your colleagues. They have had the gumption and the stomach to work hard, and they have got good, I suppose, very good training from Professor Mushahid, who's inculcated a desire in them. Last year, Sami, who is the director for that Center for Theoretical Physics, his work was referred to by the person who got the Nobel Prize in Physics. Now, that's here in Jamia.
Yes, sir.
So the potential is all here. That we come back to the old question of innovative universities.
Yes,
okay, nano, I think nano would do very well. From the university's part, we are very committed to helping them and possible getting whatever funds we can or whatever talent we can for them.
So we've had many exclusive courses which are only exclusive to Jamia. So what about a medical? Can we think of a medical college?
You know, the problem with medical college is that you require 23, 24 acres of contiguous land before the medical council permits you to build a medical college. And as you will see around you, now I think even to get 5 acres would be very difficult for you. But there's just no land. We have tried, we've asked for this Pahari land, which is about 30 acres. And the government of Delhi has acquired it for us. But the government of UP, to whom it belongs, is in Supreme Court against us. So we are fighting that case, and if we win, then that land will be available. The other issue is that a medical college will take up anything between 700 to 1,000 crore rupees. Okay. Now, the monies that go to any university it's going to be divided amongst all universities plus state universities and so on. So if Government of India commits 1,000 crore to Jamia, then what does your engineering faculty get? What would your histories get? What would your nanotechnology get? What would your dentistry get?
Right, sir.
So it is easy to say you start a medical college.
Right, sir.
But when you think through, then we will have to debate amongst ourselves that should engineering stay where it is and attention go to medicine? Or should we take engineering to a new level and let medicine be?
Correct.
So, I mean, I presume the jury is out on that one. We'll have to take a view once we get the land.
So India is known as educational hub of the world, and yet it doesn't have a university in the top 200 rankings that has just come out. What do you think is the reason and the solution to this problem that we're facing?
I told you that this is the main problem from school to higher education. We need more resources. We need more funding. We need better quality teachers. We need better quality vice chancellors. We need visionaries. The only commodity in all this that is not to blame is the students. Because the student will be there and the student wants to survive and the student wants to go on. It is us that has to provide you the quality education. And it is us who is not providing you that level of education. So, if you compartmentalize it, I will say that the students are enthused. I would say that the government has intent. But I think that, as it happens in most developing countries, that resources are divided amongst many needs. You need huge resources for defense, for instance. Now in India, you need huge resources for drinking water. You need huge resources, multi-disciplines, in multiples, for health. So naturally, education does get a cut. I mean, however important it is, it's not an unlimited amount. So it's a long fight. It's a long and hard struggle.
Yes.
And we have to keep struggling to improve.
So Jamia runs the Center for Coaching and Career Planning that offers free coaching facilities for exams that recruit for governmental services. In fact, we just had a result of 6 people getting selected for the IAS.
When was it? Last year?
Yes, sir. When Rai Mahim Mahapatra was topped, right?
Yeah.
It was open for the minorities to bring them at par with the society and to make them participate in activities of national development. What were the steps is Jamia taking or is planning to take for the upliftment of minorities?
Jamia may be a minority institution, and I think Jamia would care for Muslim education, but that is not its only commitment. Jamia's commitment is to holistic education to all its students, and 50% of my students are non-Muslims. So your question is an oxymoron.
Okay.
That we have a Muslim flavor. Mm-hmm. So many of your teachers are Muslims. You start your functions with the Tilawat of Quran. There is a mosque. So the Muslim flavor continues. But the commitment is only to give good quality education to all students. So that is one. Now, once we give good quality education, then you as a Muslim get a good quality education, she as a non-Muslim gets. We do not differentiate. I as an individual, as a vice chancellor, see in you only a student.
Right.
I do not see in
as
you a Muslim or a Hindu. And that remains my commitment.
So during your tenure, the university has witnessed many changes. Would you like to share some of the most challenging tasks that you faced and then accomplished?
You tell me what your research tells you.
So my research tells me a lot, of course. But I just wanted to hear your take on this.
No, I don't think that I faced any significant challenges.
Right. Sir.
I think a lot of people tell me, my well-wishers and people outside, that this must be a very challenging job. The fact of the matter is that I think vice chancellors exaggerate their own sense of importance and acceptability, exaggerate their own type of job that they are doing. This is as similar a job as any other job would be.
Mm-hmm.
Every job poses a challenge. You can be a clerk somewhere and you can pose a tremendous challenge because your boss wants everything on a computer and he wants your computer knowledge of so much, you know, ye nikal ke lao, phalana nikal ke lao, isse isko jod do, isse usko cut paste kar do. It's a huge challenge on an ordinary man. So challenges vary from job to job. It is up to you to get scared, or it is up to you to take it as part of a job process. I come here in the morning, I have no idea of what the day will bring for me. But what I can pray and hope is that I do not do anything that is detrimental to my children, and that whatever I do, I in some way contribute to your futures. That is my only desire in my morning prayer. Now, so in the process, if I make a mistake, I am prepared to face my maker that this is a bona fide mistake.
Right.
But I will not work under pressure. I will not, you see that out there?
Yes.
This is my own, this is not anybody else. So I will not work under any pressure. You cannot bring any pressure on me. So we will do what is good for you, as an individual and as an institution.
Right, so what does the future look like for Jamia? What are the reforms, the changes and the development that we may come to see in times to come? Especially now if you've seen the metro and courses are coming up. What does the future hold? What do we expect to see in Jamia coming years?
Things will happen by momentum. The world today is moving at a terribly fast pace. In the time that you have come to now, you have seen so many changes.
Yes,
you know,
new building,
the interdisciplinary sciences building, huge building, 28 crore rupees. The year you joined, you saw the dentistry come up, huge building. The new polytechnic has come up. Now your workshop has come up.
Yes, sir.
So these things will keep happening. Now let's look at that sports complex, which is probably the best in Delhi. So all those things will happen in due course. Sometimes they will happen faster than other times, because I mean, I may have connections, I may get you a little more funds, right?
Yes, sir.
Somebody may be a little more laid back, but despite everything, however laid back somebody might be, there is a certain inevitability to progress because the momentum is there. Aapki gaadi tez chal rahi hai, jab usko aap brake bhi lagaoge na, to wo itni dur jaake rukti hai, it can't stop immediately.
Right,
science student?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so therefore I think that we are on a path of quality growth.
Okay.
As an individual, I am not interested in new buildings.
Okay.
I am not interested in a whole lot of new courses. What I am interested right now is to give you facilities. I am interested in consolidation, that when you go to classroom, you have a smart classroom. That you have a television there,
mm-hmm.
and then your teachers have software that they can beam in the best courses for you or the best lectures for you.
Right.
That is my emphasis for the next 2-3 years.
Okay.
That let you guys get better facilities. Let me build better residence facilities for teachers or for students.
Yes, sir.
I mean, this 25 crores that we got for the girls. It was a purely compassionate plea that I made to government, that I don't want my girls to be living in the area surrounding it. I don't think it is the most healthy of places for girls coming from Mufassil areas to be living. Where does she cook? Where does she wash her clothes? How does she walk through those gullies up to this place? So, and we got 25 crores.
Yes, sir.
So the idea is that we should look at improving the quality of our environment,
right,
which includes education,
right,
which includes your food, which goes side by side, better teacher training. If you have a teacher in computer sciences, I see no reason why he should not go off to Yale or MIT for 3 months and do some course there and come back. If your teachers are jaded, the fault is with the system. And we haven't been able to send them. I mean, these guys who have done their PhD, they said that half a dozen of your chaps have done PhDs in IITs. If they are today jaded, the fault lies with us, that we haven't been able to give them what is needed to be done. But the problem is that the private institutions which have the resources are not interested in quality teaching. They will take your fee, which is going to be 10 times of what you pay here, and they will give you a degree. But as a vice chancellor, I believe my intent is to give you education and knowledge. I think the raison d'etre of the private sector is to earn money. And that's a very big divide.
So in the hierarchy of a university, a student is at the lowermost level and a vice-chancellor is at the topmost. How can a student directly approach or communicate with you should he or she ever feel the need to?
I am in touch with at least 50 students every day on email.
Right.
My email is known to everybody and anybody can be, and I will respond myself.
Okay.
Number one. It goes on, it stays on all the time.
All right.
The other way is in the afternoons, you can just walk in here.
Okay.
And Zafar Sahib will send in a slip. Now, oftentimes it happens that I will be in meetings. I mean,
okay.
Like you are
right
here now, but there may be somebody outside whom I can't see.
That's
if
good.
That happens, you try your luck another time. But if you are desperate, you want time to see me, then you can just book a time. So all three alternatives are available. You can ask for time and he'll give you time,
right,
which then is cast in stone that I have to keep that time free for you. Or you take a chance and walk in. If I'm free, I see you. If I don't take a chance, like you've come this time, I knew that you would come at 2 o'clock or 1:30 or whatever your time was, I had to see you.
Right.
I'm seeing you today despite an academic council in half an hour.
Okay. So those are all our questions.